Blog Talk Radio.
Lily Love Music, take one.
Fantasia.
My name is Renee, and I'm a baby mama.
My name is Juanita D. Sims, and I'm a baby's mama. And I'm giving a shout-out to my baby, Oscar Kennedy Ashton TJ.
Hi, my name is Shaquan, and I'm a baby mama.
Hi, this is Kyle from
Becky. My baby mama.
Wrong, 'cause nowadays it's like a badge of honor to be a baby mama. I see you paying ya, I see you working ya, I see you going to school. And girl, I know it's hard. And even though you're fed up with making beds up, girl, keep your head up on my feet. And you're like, what the hell? You think this ain't even half a daycare? Saying to yourself, this shit ain't fair. And all my girls who don't get no help, who gotta do everything by yourself, remember, what don't kill you can only make you stronger.
Chiming in,
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, hi. I was I thought I was introducing you. I wanted to bring this topic up. Like I said, there was a mother who contacted me. She's in her mid-30s, and she just found out that her 13-year-old daughter was pregnant, and the baby's father is 18. So this topic right here is just kind of plaguing not only us, but a lot of people, and it's really bothering her because she doesn't know what to do. Now that she found out that her 13-year-old daughter was pregnant, she feels like she's failed them. I want to go back and introduce you, because I did tell everyone that you have experience as being a teen mom. But first off, let's say hi to the people that's listening, that's tuned in.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon.
Okay, Sharon. Tell us where you're from, and give me a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, originally. Been in Atlanta, Georgia, since I was about 14. I had my daughter when I was 16 years old, and she's currently 7 years old now. So I went throughout the whole high school bit, you know, going to college and working as a single parent. As a teenage parent.
Okay. So what grade were you in when you, or you were still in high school when you got pregnant and had your daughter?
Yes, I was in 10th grade when I got pregnant, and 11th grade when I actually had her.
So how was that experience for you? How was it going to school and juggling an infant?
It was a challenge. I wouldn't say it was all bad, because it was definitely a great experience, you know, being a mom and having that child who loves you, you know, unconditionally and depends on you. It's definitely a motivation. Throughout school, you know, I had people who I didn't even know, you know, would show me a lot of compassion and give me extra food and things like that. A lot of my teachers, they really encouraged me to go on in my schoolwork. They helped me out a lot. I think the hardest part about going to school and being pregnant was, you know, I had all the symptoms that came with pregnancy, you know, the sleepiness, the having to go to the restroom and everything else. And then you also had the people who you never knew what their intentions were, like if they were looking at you in a certain way, you know, looking down upon you or laughing behind your back or whatever. But you had to just, like, well, I know me personally, I had to go through it and just, you know, block out everything else and just stay focused as far as my schoolwork. And, you know, when I took my maternity leave off from school, it was pretty much me homeschooling myself. Like, I would get my homework and, you know, everything else, and I would have to basically teach myself because I wasn't able to go to class, you know. But I had my tutors and I had really good friends who supported me, so it was an experience, but, you know, I made it through. I think that a lot of young women that were in my situation, you know, it comes down to your strength on how strong you are as a person, like if you can see yourself getting through whatever. Because you can't give up, knowing that you have somebody who depends on you.
Well, that's a mouthful, and that's something to think about. A lot of people, I mean, a lot of girls that I've heard get pregnant because they want somebody to love them back. They're not feeling like they are getting the love that they would normally get from somebody, so they just want this another person and just love them unconditionally. Some years ago, probably about five or 6 years ago, the club that I'm in, we did a lot of work with teen pregnant girls. Well, actually, yeah, I want to say young girls. I don't even want to say teens, because the young girls started at the age of 10. We went into a house that they were all wards of the state. We went into the house. One house was girls that were ages 10 through 18. They were all pregnant. And then the other house we went into, the girls were, after they had their baby, they lived there. And it was an experience to see a 10-year-old being pregnant that was a ward of the state. That just broke my heart. I couldn't imagine somebody that young taking on the responsibility of being a parent and having
right.
to accept that role at 10 years old. But when I did my research on this topic, I was almost scared. Some of the stuff that I read and some of the statistics, little girls, you know, they've been starting to have babies at the age of 8 and 9 years old. And when you look back at the way things used to be, like a long time ago, like when our grandparents were kids, and you hear about the 10 and 11 year olds getting married off to 40 and 50 year old men, and they were having all these babies and this, that, and the other. I couldn't fathom having a baby at 11, 12. I really couldn't fathom having a baby at 19. There were so many struggles, and then to turn around and get pregnant again at 22. I was like, oh, my God. But you're right, being able to keep pushing through, because now you have these kids that are depending on you to make sure that you succeed. You have to feed them. They're depending. It's not just you anymore. I had these two little mouths that were depending on me. So even if I didn't want
right.
to get up and go to work, or I didn't want to get up and go to school, because I had those mouths to feed and I had these little people looking up to me for to take care of them, to set a role model, be their role model. These are things that I had to do. So, Sharon,
right.
do you have many friends that are teen moms?
To be honest, being a mother myself is kind of like it's a struggle to keep really good friends, especially when you have a baby. You got to worry about, you know, the babysitter or, you know, things like that. So you don't really get the chance or opportunity to go out a lot or, you know, socialize, because you're really worried about yourself and your child, you know, at the moment. So I wouldn't say that I've connected with a lot of people who are teen moms. I know that I know of them, but not in a personal way, because I know a lot of teen moms really have a lot to deal with, to be honest. They kind of become introverts and want to stay to themselves and make sure that they're, you know, great in all aspects. So, you know, I didn't join the club, but but to piggyback off of what you said about somebody wanting to have someone there that'll love them unconditionally, I think that's one of the main reasons why there are so many teen pregnancies, because you have, you know, a lot of young women out here with self-esteem issues. Some of these young women who don't know their fathers or what didn't grow up to have somebody to tell them, you know, I love you and you're beautiful. So when a young man approaches a young woman and he's giving them all this attention and everything else, that's what they're looking for. You know what I mean? That's what they want to hear. So it's easier for a young man to go into some little girl's ear and just like, you know, you're beautiful and let's do this, not knowing to the young girl that this boy has probably been out here telling this to 10 different girls. You know what I mean? It's a self-esteem issue within itself. And so you have like young women out here who are conflicted because, you know, they made it so easy for abortions to happen. But a young woman who's carrying a child that's hers, she's like, in her mind, she's like, well, this baby's a part of me, and this baby's going to love me unconditionally no matter what. They're not going to feed me lies and everything else. They're going to look at me and actually love me. And I think that that's one of the main reasons why these young girls are out here, you know, going through with their pregnancies. Not to say that it's a bad thing, but, you know, that's one of the main reasons.
Wow. I've always thought, I know for me, at the age of 19, wasn't looking to be pregnant. I really wasn't trying to be a mom. I was partying. I had a lot of partying to do. I was a young party goer. There were so many clubs, and I wanted to be in every last one of them. And I would never say that my child was a mistake, because my kids are the love of my life. But I think that God allowed me to get pregnant to probably slow me down. There's no telling
right.
where I would be right now had I not had my son and then my daughter, because both of them kind of put a halt to any foolishness that I was doing at that age.
Right.
Because now, like you said, I have a responsibility. So it made me want to do better. I mean, I graduated from high school. I had a job, but my life was about partying and running the streets at 19. I didn't think about being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
But it gave me a sense of responsibility, and I just took it and ran with it. Today I have four, and I have two granddaughters that I'm proud of. But, you know, thinking back over the years and everything that I've seen and everything that I've done and all the mentoring that I've done with these young ladies, and I think about the resources. Because a lot of the kids that I dealt with 5 years ago in these group homes have gone on and they've given their kids up. So at any point of your life, did you ever think about, you know what, I can't take care of my baby. This is something, maybe she should go to another home. Did that ever cross your mind?
There were definitely times where situations got really hard for me and I felt like I was failing, but I never in life wanted to have someone else raise my child, you know. I never wanted somebody else to take responsibility for my, you know, my responsibility. That's my child, that's my baby. So, you know, no matter how rough things get, I always seem to snap myself out of it and get back on track. I don't think about, you know, giving my baby up, but I know it is hard for a lot of women out here, because a lot of single mothers, they're doing it by themselves, and they don't see plenty of opportunities. You know, they get into situations where it's like, there's no way out of this, you know what I mean? And then they feel defeated, and they feel like they're failing as a mother, as a person. And, you know, that's definitely a hard thing. I know a lot of people who struggle with that, honestly. I know people who have said, you know, well, maybe it would be easier if, you know, my child went on and had a better life. You know, I recently actually just met my older brother, who I had no idea even existed. I met him through Facebook, and he told me about his life. His mom was pregnant, I believe, at 15 or 13. I think it was actually 13. And she ended up getting into situations where she couldn't take care of him, and he ended up adopted. You know, and
wow.
He found us. He found his family. And, you know, he came to us, and he's a wonderful person now. So it's like me talking to him, I know that he said that, you know, it was a better situation for him to go on and be adopted, because had he ended up, you know, staying with his mother the way she was struggling, he probably wouldn't be the person he is today. So I know that, you know, it's a tough decision for a lot of people, and especially if it's like, you know, the Child Protective Services come and tell you you're doing a bad job as a parent and we need to take your child away. I know that's the toughest thing. That has to be the toughest thing ever.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow, so you met your brother. He was adopted. This is, I mean, a lot of, some parents, if they're young and they don't have that solid rock foundation, a family around them, the father's not there, and they just feel like they're all alone. At 13, 12, 13, 14 years old, what can you do when you have nobody? So,
right.
I mean, that would be a good choice for someone in that situation that has no resources at all to take care of a child, and they're a child themselves, and they have no rock, no mom, no dad, nobody to fall back on, no grandparents.
Right.
I can see how that would be hard. But let's get into something nitty-gritty. Well, a lot of people, let me tell you, when I first thought about teen pregnancy, I'm looking at my environment, I'm looking at the people that I see, the girls that I've mentored. And I was like, you know what? Our African-American females are, in my mind, was the number one issue with teen pregnancy. What nationality do you think is the number one nationality to have the most teen pregnancies?
I would probably think that African American women as well. But I've seen 16 and pregnant. I know that, you know, that it can come from anywhere. It can happen to anybody. So I really can't say for sure who I think is the most likely to become a teenage mom as far as race goes.
Let me tell you that according to the CDC, that the American Indian and Alaska Natives have the highest rate of teen pregnancy. Now, African-American girls are very close, very close. But we're not the top. And then I would think it was African-American, then Hispanics. Nope. Hispanics are number 4 out of 5.
Wow.
It's the American Indian, it's African-American, then it's Asian. Can you believe it?
Mm. Oh, Asian. That Asian one, that's crazy.
I want to go to the phone line right now because I have a few callers in queue, and I want to see if they have a story to share with us today.
Okay.
Just a sec. Caller, the last 4, this is the 0899. Are you calling to share a story or are you calling to listen in?
I'm calling to listen.
Okay, I'll put you back in queue. Caller with the last 4 of 9009. Are you calling to listen or are you calling to make a comment? Calling to listen. Something from my sponsor, real quick, and when we come back, we'll finish up the conversation.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and/or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are: what is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard Remote Monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com. www.digitalguardlivesurveillancemonitoring.com.
Okay, everybody, you're tuned in to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio with Renita Graves. Against all odds, tonight we're talking about teen pregnancy, babies having babies. Guest speaker on the show tonight is Sharon, bringing her experience as a teen mom. And Sharon, you said your baby now is 7?
Yes.
Okay, so she should be in the second grade?
Yes, first grade.
First grade. How is she real receptive, because you were young when you had her? What kind of relationship do you both have with each other?
To be honest, my baby is a bit spoiled. Like, she's very spoiled. I'm gonna be totally and completely honest. Like, we're very close. She comes to me and she tells me every little thing in full detail. In full detail. She has whole stories for every little thing that happens with her. You know, we cuddle, and she'll sit up there and she'll kiss me all over my face, and she'll say, "Mommy, you're beautiful." And I'll tell her the same thing. We have those conversations every day.
And you mentioned college. Let me tell you what the statistics says. The statistics that I read, even though it says that in the United States, these statistics, let me go back, are from September of 2016 from the CDC. And they reported that over the past 7 years, that in the U.S., teen pregnancy is at a record low. They said, there's better birth control out there. Schools are doing a little bit more education. So it kind of seems like the kids are falling back on, I'm not going to say that they're falling back on having sex, but they're falling back and they're being more protective and being aware so that they won't end up pregnant. But let me tell you what shocked me, because you did mention college, and I do want to say, and even though I had 2 kids across the, when I went and signed my paper to go to college, I was pregnant. When I crossed the stage, I was pregnant. Right now, I have 3 degrees, 4 kids. So having a baby at a young age does not stop you from getting an education. But according to the statistics with CDC, they claim that the people who have the teens who are getting pregnant are from low economic statuses. They barely graduate high school. They don't go to college. It's like they've put these kids in a box instead of saying that there's resources there that are helping them in spite of their situation to make sure that they continue with their education, to make sure that they're able to go to school, go to work, and still have affordable daycare. I know here in Georgia, when we were trying to get that daycare for these little girls, everything was gone. There was no money. There's no money to help with daycare. So daycare nowadays is, for an infant, it can range anywhere from $100 a week to $185 a week.
Right.
So how are you with you? I mean, do you work the hours that your child goes to school? So how does that work out for you?
You know, I spend a lot of time, a lot of things for the past couple of years. Like, I've tried to work, like, full time, like, 2 different jobs. I'd be constantly working, you know, and it's horrible, because it's like, you know, I have to work to take care of my baby, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not there to take care of my baby. I think a lot of women, young women, face that, because it's like, if you're a high school student, or you graduated high school or didn't graduate high school or went on to get your GED or whatever the case may be, the employment situation is horrible. It's like you get these minimum wage jobs, and you have to work so hard. You have to work so many hours just to put food on the table, make sure you have everything you need as far as daycare and food and clothes and putting a roof over your child's head is very hard, for especially for a single woman doing it by herself. A person with one income on a high school level, you know, education is hard. It's hard to do. That's why, for myself personally, I want to push forward and go ahead and get my degree so that I know I'll have a career and I can sufficiently take care of my child and won't be struggling, working paycheck to paycheck, because that's basically what a lot of young women are going through, being single parents and having to work so much just to make sure that their child is taken care of. The daycare is crazy. A lot of these jobs are paying every 2 weeks, so your whole check is basically going towards 2 weeks of your child's daycare and their food and their clothes, you know. So
roughly,
it's definitely a struggle.
$200 every 2 weeks or more.
Right.
Well, see, then that's it. That's one of the resources. Like the young ladies, if you're listening, if you email me or call into the show or even hit me on Facebook, I will help you find those resources that you need to help take care of your baby. There's a lot of resources out there that people don't know about, that young ladies don't know that there are schools. There are schools out there that you can actually go to school, finish your high school diploma, and there's daycares inside the school that will, they will watch your baby while you're there. There's also home help for low income. I can say that that was one of my saving graces when I was younger. My mom was there. She, you know, my oldest child, she practically took him every time I had him somewhere. She would come and get him. That was the good thing about, you know, having my mom around, because I knew that she was my fallback. If I wanted to go somewhere, you know, she had no problem babysitting for me. But when I at two kids, I was like, I need to get out. I need to have my own. I don't want to put that much pressure on my mom. Luckily, there was affordable housing. I think my apartment back then, based off my income, I may have paid $13 or $23 a month for my rent. So I was able to work. I was able to go to school. I was able to have affordable daycare because I had the resources. And I was able to have my own apartment where I could just raise my kids in my apartment, being a mom to my kids. So, and I know it's kind of hard nowadays because, especially here in Georgia, there's really not too many resources here that will allow teen moms that affordability and still be comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, because down at the on Sam Street, where they have you sign up for child care, there's a waiting list that's like 3 years long. So if you have a 3-year-old, in 3 years, their baby will be going to regular school. So if I need daycare now, I have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm working a minimum wage job, I can't afford it. So it's almost
right.
Like the system is making you rely on them, if that makes sense.
Definitely, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I can't work, so now I need to get welfare.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford daycare, so I need to stay at home. So now I'm a product of the welfare system.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of feel like you're stuck. Because it's like you if you can't branch out because you're dependent on somebody else, and you have somebody dependent on you, and you can't leave your child alone to go work. You know, you can't. A lot of people don't have a support system or somebody that can call to babysit, or, you know what I mean, for a couple of hours while you go to work or school or whatever you need to do. Like, you have to rely on yourself, but basically you're relying on the government to help you out, because without that, then where would you be?
And you spoke on something that's real hot nowadays in the news. You
mm-hmm.
can't leave your child alone. There are so many news stories out about parents who have left their kids at home so that they can go to work, left their kids in the car, and things are happening to these kids. A few years ago, a young lady that I know, and I think she's probably in jail now, but she left her kids at home, and her house caught on fire. And unfortunately, her kids didn't survive the house fire.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's hard. So what do you do in a situation where if I don't go to work, I can't eat, I can't feed my kids, I can't pay my rent, I can't put gas in my car, I don't have anybody, it's just me and my kids, and I'm stuck.
Yeah, that's definitely hard. Luckily for me, I have a great support system. You know, I do have brothers and sisters who can help me out. You know, they'll complain or whatever the case may be, but they're always there for me, and they're there for their niece. So I've never really had to experience a situation where it was like I had nobody to call on, and I'm very grateful for that, but there are so many women out there who don't have that luxury. They don't have that. And so I think that's when the giving your child up for adoption, I think that's when all that stuff comes into play, because you feel defeated. It's like you have nothing else to go on. You have no help. Everywhere you turn, every step you take, it's like, what can I do? I can't do anything better than what I'm doing right now. And it's very hard, especially for women out here who are doing it on their own. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I never had to go through that, but I do feel a lot of sympathy for the women who do go through that type of situation.
Now let me ask you, Sharon, about your baby's father. Are you collectively raising your child together? Is he in your child's life?
No. My baby father, he's very immature. I think at the time, around the time we met, I was on another level of maturity, which is most case for, you know, females and males. The women mature faster, and I feel like he's still in a childlike state. Honestly, and you know, he went his own way, and that's unfortunately the case for a lot of young women out here. You know, men are just not stepping up and being there for their child, so they have to do things on their own.
Wow. So I think that's a major problem, especially when you're younger. When you're older and you're established, you might can handle that a little bit more. But when you're 13 or 14 years old and you have a baby and you think this guy, like you mentioned before, they're coming to you, they're telling you that you're beautiful and that they love you, and that security blanket that they're showing towards you, and then bam, you're pregnant. And then bam, they're gone. And you're not beautiful anymore. They don't love you anymore, and you're stuck. What recourses are there for that outside of child support? How what steps would you take if you were to actively try to get your child and their father together? Because I would never condone any child not being in their father's lives if it was possible. So what steps, or what kind of message would you relay to other young ladies who are pregnant and they have a child? Like, what kind of steps would you take in order to fix that, bridge that gap between the baby and the baby's father?
I personally believe that I don't believe in talking down, you know, to my child about her father. I don't believe in, you know, putting in her mind that he's a bad person, because at the end of the day, I don't know what he's going through. And not to make that sound as like an excuse or whatever the case may be, but he'll see later on down the line what he's missing out on. Because I know that was the same case for my father. my father wasn't there for me. And, you know, later on down the line, he showed up and he said a lot of things, you know what I mean? And, you know, he's still doing whatever he does. But at the end of the day, I know within myself, you know, I always had my mom, you know, and I always had her love and her support. And that's what I want to give to my child. You know, even though he's missing and everything else, I try to double up on the love. Like, I tell my baby she's beautiful every single day so that, you know, when she gets older and some little boy comes up behind her and he's like, you're beautiful, she's going to turn around and she's going to be like, I know, you know. Like, there's nothing that you, as a young man, you know, she has her self-esteem because I, myself, and I know she gets it from everybody else tells her she's beautiful and she's very conceited, quite honestly, as a 7-year-old. She's very conceited because I tell her every day that she's beautiful. I try to give her as much love as possible so that she doesn't feel like she's missing anything. You know what I mean?
So,
and I don't want
her
to ever grow up.
The love to make up for her dad not being there.
Yeah,
I would say
I kind of do. You know, it's not intentionally overcompensating because I do tell her she's beautiful because she is. You know, she's my baby. I want her to know that you are beautiful. And that shouldn't be something that some little boy comes up to say, oh, you're beautiful and you know, anything. Like, you're going to have to show me. When she gets to the age where she's, like, with the little boys and crushing and everything else, it's not going to be, oh, you're beautiful, and that's it, boom, bam, like, now I'm the teen mom. That's not going to be the case. I don't know the future, but that's what I'm trying to instill in her. Like, you have your self-esteem, you love yourself, I love you, no matter what, you know what I mean? Because I think that was a big part of why I went out searching for love, you know what I mean? Because my father wasn't there. But when you have all the love, you know what I mean, then there's nothing that somebody can say. Like, you're not out here searching for it.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go to the phone lines again. I see more callers have chimed in. I'm going to click on the call for a caller with the last four of 2300. Good evening, caller. Are you calling to chime in or are you calling to just listen?
I can chime in. This is your little sister, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
Want to give us your take on this topic?
Well, you know, I was a teen mom too, so I totally get that whole thing. I was 17 when I had Brooke, and of course, me and her dad aren't together, and I mean, it was definitely tough. Thank God for family. Thank God for having that, you know, that extra help, that extra boost because, you know, just like statistics say, you know, we're not going to make it. We're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. We can't have, you know, we're going to be on food stamps and welfare and Section 8 and all that other stuff. And I mean, things happen and you just got to know your resources. And for the people that don't know the resources, those are the ones I feel sorry for, you know, because there's so many people out here that that can help you finish school, can help you be a better person. I mean, you know, I'm one of those. I dropped out of school at that time, you know, and when it came down to it, I had somebody that, you know, was supposed to be in my corner helping me and actually was telling me what I can't do, you know. Can't do that. Oh, that's impossible. And you know, but you know, I'm one of those people that I'd rather challenge you on it. So let me go ahead and challenge you and show to what I could do. And having a baby didn't stop me. It definitely,
right,
you know, came in. It was a hurdle that I had to jump. But you know, you can do it. Anything you put your mind to, you can do. And if we can come together and help build each other up and help somebody once they fall. I mean, instead of, you know, trying to put them down or, you know, look, mm-hmm. you know, turn your nose up at them, let's just help. You know, everybody can help,
that's
you know.
It.
And that's all it takes.
I agree.
I mean, mm-hmm.
If you have, because having a baby as a teen the end of the world. That's what I want to,
no.
You know, that's what I want to make known to the people that are listening, the young girls that are listening, the young girls that email me. Ashley, I'm going to put you back in queue.
Okay.
And thank you for calling in.
No problem.
Having a baby at a young age is not the end of the world. You can still do the things that you were destined to do and still be great. You don't know what God's plan is for you. So I just want to put that out there for the young ladies. Just please do not give up. I have another caller. Caller with the last four of 3549. Are you calling to listen or you want to make a comment?
Hey, how everyone doing?
I'm doing fine. You want to make a comment?
I just think that I was listening in, and I think we just have to break the cycle. I mean, we got to start. I was listening to Sharon, and she was saying how she had a great support system with her mom, and now she's in the same position where she is by herself. So I think that it's time to break the cycle. I mean, as much as the world don't want the man in the house with the woman, and the woman raised the children by herself, I think that we have to work on trying to mend that and get back to back in the day where I was in the house with grandma and the kid, you know. So I think that's the solution. We just got to figure out how can we get to that.
Get back to that family life. And,
exactly.
And the kids being able to see a productive, loving family. And being raised in a two-parent household. I agree. But how would you suggest, or what advice do you have for the young ladies on breaking this cycle? Because, you know, I was a teen mom. My daughters are teen moms. I pray that my granddaughters don't grow up to be teen moms. Like, as a man, how do you think that this cycle can be broken? My dad, I'm just going to put it out there. My dad was in my life for a short period of time. He ended up going to prison. He passed away when I was still a teen. And I can't say that I got pregnant because I was looking for a father figure, because that wasn't my case. But what advice do you have as a man to give to these young ladies that are,
I think that is true, that as being looking for someone to be to fill that void as far as a father figure. I think we have to, you know, teach our young ladies how to, you know, to search for the right person instead of just searching for the good looking person, the person that has the good car. You know, we have to teach them how, you know, sometimes you have to wait and hold them before you fold them. So, I mean, everybody, I was young, and, of course, you were young as well. So we all been down that road, but we have to teach these ladies, teach these young kids how to, you know, enjoy life, but don't get stuck with somebody who don't mean anything to you. Yeah, everything is good in the beginning, but then, you know, once the baby comes, 80% of the guys who you have a baby with, they're going to run away from them because they know they're not ready. And to be real with you, the young lady isn't ready either, you know. So, but she's stuck with the baby, you know what I'm saying? So I would say start with, you know, teaching the women, teaching young ladies how to, you know, if you're going to do it the right way, you know, protect yourself, because obviously the guy is not looking out for you. He's not trying to protect you. Because if he did care about you, the first thing he'd tell you is, let me protect you by protecting myself as well.
I agree. So we need more father role models like yourself. We need more women that have been in the situation that are willing to give back to our young ladies, mentor them, go into the schools, provide things on social media, like bring up these topics, because that's the only way we're going to reach everybody. And we may not be able to reach everybody, but that's the only way we're going to be able to reach a group, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
there's so many lost souls out there that are young and they're clinging to something. They're wanting something. And if we don't, if us, the people who have been through it, men like yourself that's giving these young girls the real look, I was there. I was a teen. I was a young male, and this is what I thought. You have to read between the lines, and you have to be able to understand what's real and what's fake, if they're just trying to get in my pants or if they really do like me, and then you have to demand that respect. If we're going to do this, we have to use protection. I'm not ready to be a parent. So thank you for calling. I'm going to put you back in queue. I hope you continue to listen. I appreciate the words that you said and what you shared to our audience. Okay, a lot of people think that the lower privileged people are the ones that are getting pregnant. I found a clip where when Sarah Palin was running for president, her daughter actually was 17 years old, and they found out that she was pregnant at the age of 17. Bear with me for a few minutes. I want you all to hear this clip. And there's also a young lady that wants to tell her story on this clip as well.
As we wait to hear from Governor Palin, the spotlight is also on her daughter.
Well, she is 17 years old. She's not married and pregnant, and it has a lot of people talking.
Fox 5's Linda Schmidt spoke to a teenager who's also a mom to find out how she copes day to day.
19-year-old Ebony Ruffin knows the challenge firsthand of being a pregnant teenager. You see, she got pregnant with her son, Nasir, her senior year of high school, and delivered her baby boy before graduating.
School was like from 8 o'clock till 3:15. So I was in school all day. As soon as school was over, I would go into work. 10:30, I would get off work, go home. Once I get home, my son comes home, I have to stay up with him. Get a few hours of sleep, waking up all times of the night. It wasn't just, you know, to feed him. It was like every 2 hours, every 3 hours. So, you know, it was hard.
But with the love and support of her grandmother, Ebony was one of the lucky teenage moms. She was able to graduate. Statistics show that 60% of pregnant teens do not graduate. At the Family Centers in Stamford, Connecticut, their Young Parents Program helps teenagers focus on school, getting a job, and being good moms. But the odds are against these young parents.
Children born to teenagers are more likely to live in poverty. They're more likely to fail in school. Girls born to teen moms are more likely to repeat teen pregnancy.
The center is also seeing teenagers getting pregnant at younger ages.
So we are seeing more 13, 14, 15 teen moms pregnant.
And they say in just about every case, the young fathers are nowhere to be found. Ebony has this advice for teenagers thinking about having sex.
You don't need a baby at 17 or 18. It was best to wait to graduate school. Get your diploma. Get some type of college education.
And Family Centers also...
Wow. The news just said that 60% of teen pregnant young ladies do not finish high school. That's a lot. And just to look at how the news displays us, they're poverty stricken, uneducated. We have to break this cycle. I agree with the male caller. We have to break this cycle. Sharon, outside of the show, have you talked to any other young ladies? Would you be willing to mentor young ladies? Would you be willing to go into the schools and tell your story and your struggles and try to help prevent teen pregnancy?
Of course. I think it would have been great for myself at that time if I would have had somebody, you know, who's been through it, who knows what's going on, you know, knows the struggle and, you know, can give me the real on how it's going to be, because I know a lot of these young girls out here, they some of them, they're thinking it's cute, you know, they're in a race to have babies, and it's
it's not the worst thing in the world, but that's not something you want to strive for. You want to strive to get your education and be a better person before you bring another life into this world, you know, before you have somebody depend on you. So I would definitely love to go and speak with these young women and give my story and anything I could do to help. Most definitely.
Well, that would be great. We'll connect after the show. I'll show you or tell you how to get into mentoring, and hopefully you can change some lives. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight with Against All Odds with Renita Graves. Tonight's topic was teen pregnancy, babies having babies. I also want to give a shout out to my sponsor at Victim Stoppers, Digital Guard. You can follow them on Twitter at Victim Stoppers or log on to their blog, www.victimstoppersradio.us. Next week's topic will be part two of our domestic violence that we talked about on January 19th. That topic was so deep, we have to bring it back. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight to Against All Odds with Renita Graves. And I'm going to close out with the ad from our sponsor. Have a good night. Please tune in next Thursday at 8 o'clock sharp.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are: what is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard Remote Monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.